Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and today's guest is Sean Tretta, one of the head writers for Sci-Fi Channel's 12 Monkeys. Welcome to
Hello,
the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
No problem. 12 Monkeys is a fun show, and since season 2 has concluded its long, twisty, mind-bending journey, as one friend of mine puts it, he says, a Monday without monkeys is a day without sunshine, which I'm pretty sure he stole from Aliens.
I think I saw that tweet somewhere.
I thought he stole it from Aliens, but if he got it from Twitter, it's still appropriate. So thank you for breaking our brains with time travel paradoxes and making it fun in the process.
We try hard.
Now, for people who haven't caught up with season 2 or haven't seen season 2, how would you summarize all of the intertwined mixing up of timelines, fracturing of timelines, and of people to get them to watch?
Well, I think coming off of season 1, season 1 was very much about stopping a plague, about Cole using time travel to go back in time and try to figure out why the 12 monkeys would release a plague and basically kill the world, in a sense. Season 2 is about finding out that there's more to this than just a plague, that there's sort of a bigger, worse thing out there that 12 monkeys are trying to propagate.
So it's more of a lead-in, hey, what you thought was going on really isn't going on, come watch.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, we try very hard to, whenever we set something up, we like to pay it off. And a lot of the mysteries that may have seemed just like interesting or bizarre sort of color to the show, we hammer home in season 2, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like every now and then when you get a clue that you think might not be as key as you hope it is, it turns out to have an entirely different meaning and a different impact on a different timeline. And keeping track of all of those hurts, so thank you.
It's funny, you know, we're obviously very close to the story, and we usually don't put something in an episode unless we know exactly how it's going to pay off. And so when we're putting the season together, it becomes sort of like second nature to us, whereas we'll discuss certain element, like, well, that happened because of this and because of this, but if you were to go back and change this, this wouldn't have happened. And it becomes a second language to us here. And then of course, it goes out in the world, and people are like, what are they talking about? So it's funny. It's funny. An interesting thing is when we go, when the show is produced and we go to, we meet with the crews and things like that, they think we're sort of like weird time travel obsessed freaks because we remember these odds and ends and interconnecting pieces so quickly.
Oh, I want to know, how do you keep track of which timelines are fractured and which ones are still on track? Because it seems to me that each time you go back and something happens that didn't happen previously, you get a fractured timeline. And I'm like, are they just trying to break time by making sure that the foundation is so splintered there is no one continuous line through? What is going on here?
Well, breaking time is a good way to put it. And that's, you know, as you're watching season 2, you'll get the sense that may be in play. You know, there's sort of two types of effect of time travel. One being that one travels back in time and learns that whatever happened in the past is part of that time traveler's present. So, like, for example, in season 1, when Ramsey went back in time and, you know, had fought with Cole in 1987 Japan and then had lived his life as part of the 12 Monkeys, that was all part of a timeline that was never changed, because he was always destined to go back and do those things. So that was, in essence, set in stone. It was part of history before he even went back and did it. Then you have other instances where you go back in time and you alter something that was not part of that original timeline, and you get a time shift, like in episode 2 of season 2, whereas they pushed in destroying the vials of the plague virus that Jennifer had, they actually pushed back the release of the plague 2 years, which of course altered many things for our characters in 2044, including suddenly Dr. Eklund was there and Dr. Lasky had not been killed. So those are the sort of the two things that we play around with. One, it was always meant to be that way, and the other way is that you do change something and it does drastically affect the present or the future, depending where you are at the moment.
Now, can you divulge a little bit more about the primaries and their function?
Yeah, primaries, what you learn in season 2 is that the primaries are a sort of like a biological function of time. What Jennifer ends up telling Jones, or explaining to her in this really fantastic sequence in episode 4, Emergence of season 2, is that time itself, there's a consciousness to it. And that time, or the perception of time, has developed or evolved along with human beings. And that certain human beings who are attuned to the machinations of time can actually see changes in the timeline, multiple timelines. They have sort of somewhat precog abilities and things like that. And you discover that since time is essentially based on the consciousness of man, that there are individuals who have a certain sixth sense about time, serve an important function to it.
Now, are the primaries connected with how some people seem to, I'm going to say, age differently? Or is that a relativistic phenomenon?
Well, the age different, the aging or lack of aging phenomenon has direct correlation to Jones's injections. So as we learned in season 1, it was necessary to inject Cole with this serum that Jones concocted, which enables him physically to be taken apart and put back together mm-hmm. in another time via the time machine. So what happens too is that the side effects of those injections are sort of, they slow down your own biological time. You don't age as fast, you heal quicker. So those are the things that we see in people like Ramsey, who by the time we get to Ramsey in season 2, he's actually like a 70-year-old man. But because of those injections, he doesn't appear to have aged much. And that's something that applies to anyone who's going to be time traveling in season 2.
Because I wondered if it was a side effect or an enhanced effect because of the time travel, because the closer you get to certain speeds, the slower time is. And then when you come back out, where are you? Where's your body? How did your body react to being splintered and reassembled, that sort of thing? So
it's interesting. You can always, you know, there's two ways of looking at what happens to people because of time travel. And a good example of that is episode 8 of season 2, which is Cole and Cassie find themselves in a situation where the day keeps resetting, and it keeps resetting them biologically too. And the question asked in the episode very directly is this a product of the machine, our time machine, or is this a product of time's consciousness resetting things? And we leave that one up to the viewer's discretion to make that choice there.
Yeah, because that's a fascinating concept, that time is conscious enough to realize that certain pieces are broken, are out of sync, and since there are no time lords around to fix the problem, it has to fix it itself.
Right. I mean, if you think of time as a biological entity, let's say, which we sort of insinuate in a sense is based on the consciousness of people who are biological beings, that if time were to become sick or have some sort of ailment, that what is sort of the antibody of time? How would time organically heal itself if it had been threatened, which time travel is a pretty good threat to time.
Mm-hmm. And I started to wonder, it's like, well, if time itself is based in the consciousness of humanity, killing off a lot of humanity could affect time as well. And would it allow that to happen in order to heal itself? Or would it allow that, or would it try to stop that by allowing other people to travel through time to fix what somebody else is trying to break? And then you fall over on your side drooling because your brain can't keep up with it.
It's a good question. And then, you know, also too, you throw in something like plague. What is the function? If you say time is based on the consciousness of man, and then suddenly there's a plague, what is that?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So I know you can't talk a whole lot about season 3, but I know there are a lot of people who are happy that a season 3 is coming down the pike, even if it means taking a quantum physics class to understand some of the stuff that's happening.
You know, we you know, obviously we get into some, you know, pretty twisty time travel storylines and theories and things in the show, but primarily the show for us, and we think the audience, is the relationship between the characters, and also, you know, what time travel and the stakes of time travel, how that affects their lives. And that's really, you know, you don't need quantum physics and that sort of, you know, knowledge of those sort of things to get that our characters are faced with immense decisions they have to make and immense responsibilities. And there's also the notion there that, you know, what happens when you basically have the power to rewrite time, which you could say is like, what, you know, having the power of God, like, what would you, how responsible are you in wielding that? So those are the things I think that going into season 3, the moral choices and the emotional choices that these characters are going to have to make, given the things that they discover at the end of the season, it's going to be play a really enormous role in what unfolds coming up for everyone.
Excellent. Well, one more question. I know you're very active on Twitter. What for you has been the most, I'm going to say, gleefully satisfying fan reaction to something you've written? Because I know you've written a lot of stuff and you're sitting there watching for the fans to go nuts on anything. But what have you personally experienced when they react to something that you've written?
That appeared in one of my episodes. I'd say the two big things that I was most excited to see people react to, and everyone on our staff. And in truth, like, you know, every episode is special to us. So there's things in other episodes that you get really excited to see how fans react to it. But in if you're asking me about my personal ones, it was you know, the reveal that Jones, that Hannah is alive. And as an adult and in Meets Jones, that was a big thing that we knew we were gonna make people cry really, really hard. And so that was really fun to see on Twitter. And the other one, which is, you know, that was like kind of a beautiful moment. And the other one that was more of a dark, sinister moment that turned into something, you know, sort of beautiful, was Cassie arriving at the house in episode 12 and seeing and realizing that the house from her Red Forest tea nightmares was, in fact, now occupied by Cole, and what that meant, and her realizing the whole, you're walking through Red Forest and the grass is tall, it's just rained, the blood has been washed away, like what that actually meant, and being able to pay that off and having the audience see that unfold was really exciting.
Excellent. Well, I will say thank you for all of us fans who have headaches from the time travel paradoxing back and forth. And we are looking forward to season three.
It's going to be great.
And
It's going to be great.
I hope to get to talk to you for season three because I can't begin to imagine how twisty things are going to be, but I know it's going to be a fun ride.
It's going to be a fun ride. It's going to be a fun ride. It's going to be an emotional ride, and it's going to be a blast. And we're working hard, and we're looking forward to getting it out there to people and seeing what they think.
Well, thank you very much for your time today, Sean.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's Sean Tretta, writer for 12 Monkeys on Sci-Fi Channel, a show that I, for one, am looking forward to finding out what happens next, even if it means taking some aspirin and or having a beer. thank you again.
Thanks.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Annie.
And I'm Stephanie.
We're the hosts of The Quad, a podcast about sci-fi and Space Channel's new series, Killjoys.
Killjoys follows three bounty hunters that operate in a group of planets called The Quad that is on the verge of a class war.
We'll be discussing the episodes as they air and exploring the characters, themes, and story arcs. Find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and at AskGenreTV.com.
See you in The Quad.
Of talking about my favorite TV shows with the people who write and create them, but I hate avoiding spoilers. It's an interesting little dance you have to do when you're trying to avoid spoilers for people who haven't seen the stuff yet, for people in different parts of the world who haven't even gotten the series yet. And so it's fun to come up with ways to talk about a show without talking about a show, sort of like Fight Club interview. Nah, it doesn't matter. Sometimes I will dive in full spoilers because I will be able to get more at the heart of what's going on. And sometimes you can't. I definitely want to get Sean back on when he's freely available to talk about season three. Just the whole concept that they're actually treating time as potentially a sentient entity is very cool because that's an idea I played with a while ago in a science fiction short story I was writing. But soon we'll have some more interviews coming up with principals from other Sci-Fi Channel and other various shows. Stay tuned for that. We've also got on the books planned a Marvel Universe discussion talking about the movies and the TV shows, since we've got Luke Cage coming up in September and my one-time comics hero, Doctor Strange, coming up in November. I think it's funny. The two comic books that were not Marvel Mutant related that I read religiously were Daredevil and Doctor Strange. And now they're on the screen. And I get to enjoy those universes with good storytelling and amazing, amazing special effects. So I can't wait for the release date for those two. But that will do it for this episode. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. That number is 602-635-6976. Leave a voicemail message, ask a question, or if you want, you can email in something you've recorded yourself to summer@sliceofscifi.com. If it's too long to email, just email me a link to it. Listen to the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, and on Krypton Radio. And if you could, please leave a review for us or a rating on iTunes or on Stitcher. Let other people know that this is a show that you enjoy and that they should check it out too. Check us out on Twitter @SliceOfSciFi and @SliceOfSciFiTV. Check us out on Google Plus and check us out on YouTube. Yes, we have some new videos up. Noah and Darren have done video reviews for Star Trek Beyond, and I think we have one coming up real soon with Suicide Squad. Come by the website, sliceofscifi.com, sliceofscifi.tv. WritersAfterDark.com has some interviews I've done with some writers of some indie films that are not quite sci-fi or horror related, so check those out. We have PopCultureGeeks.com, which features some non-genre movie reviews, and we'll be branching out into reviews of other things like TV shows, online entertainment, a few other things in the works. If you think you want to be a reviewer or a contributor, send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. And as always, we have kickassmysticninjas.com. Thank you, everyone, for your donations and your pledges through Patreon. Really appreciate it. The support goes a long way to keeping all of this going. All of the $5 and higher subscribers should be getting another bonus audio in the next couple of days. So keep an eye out on your inboxes or on the Patreon page for that. Thank you very much to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for providing the awesome rock theme for Slice of Sci-Fi, and who are currently, as of this weekend, enjoying the Creation Con Star Trek convention in Las Vegas. Not sure how many nights they're performing, but I know they're definitely performing at least one show. And featuring that song, A Tall Ship, which is a beautiful song. It's an incredible tribute to the friends that they've made through Star Trek. As they said in the description for the video, if it wasn't for Star Trek, Sci-Fried might not have come together as a band originally. So thank you, Star Trek, for giving us such an eclectic collection of talented musicians, combining geekiness and rock and roll for all of us to enjoy. But that will do it for this episode. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.